The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. I apologize that my voice is so hoarse. The good news is that if, in fact, my voice fails me, I will end the homily right away. And basically, I'll pray the Mass almost in silence at the altar. But if I do that, it will be a valid Mass, and there will be communion. Already in the first chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, and that's where we are, we're reading about Jesus' teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum and about his dramatic encounter with a man with an unclean spirit. And this encounter, it is an encounter with a man, a child of God, who is possessed with a demon. And remember that demons are realities in the spiritual world. They're fallen angels who have freely and definitively refused to serve God and his salvation plan. They deeply hate you and me. They basically will do whatever it takes to try to convince us to choose death. They'll do whatever it takes to get us to join their revolt against God. And part of their plan begins with just getting you and me to ignore their existence. Now, I'm sure that just mentioning demons or the devil or Satan, even in church, it's somewhat jarring because Satan is not a fashionable topic today. But if we scrutinize the Gospels, we see that the story of Jesus' life and ministry cannot be told without reference to Satan. St. John the Evangelist sums up Jesus' mission in these words: "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." When Jesus heals sickness, the Gospels are careful to note whether he was healing a mere physical sickness or a sickness linked to the demonic, such as we heard this morning. And in his own preaching, Jesus very frequently refers to the devil. But what's this got to do with you and me? On the one hand, each one of us must confront the uncomfortable reality of Satan, including the reality that Satan works through real men and women to advance his agenda of death. He is real. He's very real. He's totally focused on sabotaging God's work of grace in you and in me. But on the other hand, I think we can take a kind of odd comfort in confronting the reality of Satan. The reality helps us to make some sense of our own lives and to make some sense of what's going on around us. We can allow ourselves to get sucked into a culture of crude entertainment and self-satisfaction, a culture of death, which is all around us, which teaches that we can use other people for our own purposes. We can choose to believe the lie that we have the right not to have to suffer for any reason, and that we should not be willing to die for any reason. We can allow ourselves to become merely fake Christians who, by our own selfish behaviors, maybe even by our votes on election day, empower the advance of our culture of death and the destruction of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Or, as the great Baptist evangelist Billy Graham likes to put it, we can make another decision. the decision which Jesus Christ asks of each one of us. And it's the option that Satan hates. We can consciously decide we won't be self-indulgent, fakes. We can decide to become real and authentic disciples of Jesus Christ, even if inevitably we're going to have to suffer by engaging the lifelong spiritual battle which is swirling all around us. And how do we do this? Well, we do this first by staying close to Jesus Christ, by growing in a spirit of thanksgiving to God and forgiveness of our neighbor, and by receiving Jesus frequently in the Eucharist. Secondly, we must stay close to truth and light, including the truth about ourselves. And once we recognize the truth about ourselves, that means staying close to the sacrament of reconciliation. And lastly, as we read in the Gospel of Mark today, we must stay close to the authority of Jesus Christ, close to his church, always be mindful of the teaching authority of our Holy Father and our bishops, also staying close to other spiritual warriors, and of course, close to our brothers and sisters in need. Obviously, for example, no real Christian would ever vote to support America's culture of death. No real Christian would ever, by their vote, collaborate in the grave evil of keeping in power the gang of pro-death, pro-abortion, truly sick politicians who have no qualms about defending the demonic murder of millions of innocent children. Satan is the lord of selfishness. Satan is the lord of self-pleasure. He's the lord of self-gratification. And when you and I resist these evils and rather seek to serve and to self-sacrifice for others, then we will weaken the influence of Satan in our own lives and in our nation. Brothers and sisters, our Bishop of Rockford, Bishop Thomas Doran, is writing to us this weekend about a grave threat coming from the administration controlling Washington, a threat to the religious liberty of all our citizens, especially us Catholics, especially Catholic employers. And I've been asked to read the bishop's letter to you at Mass. Also, please note that the continued existence of our own St. Mary's School is immediately impacted by Obama's actions. Bishop Doran, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I write to you concerning an alarming and serious matter that negatively impacts the Church in the United States directly, and that strikes at the fundamental right to religious liberty for all citizens of any faith. The federal government, which claims to be of, by, and for the people, has just dealt a heavy blow to almost a quarter of those people, the Catholic population, and to millions more who are served by the Catholic faithful. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced last week that almost all employers, including Catholic employers, will be forced to offer their employees health coverage that includes sterilization, abortion-inducing drugs, and contraception. Almost all health insurers will be forced to include those services in the health policies they write. And almost all individuals will be forced to buy that coverage as part of their policies. In so ruling, the administration has cast aside the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, denying to Catholics our nation's first and most fundamental freedom, that of religious liberty. And as a result, unless the rule is overturned, we Catholics will be compelled either to violate our consciences or to drop health coverage for our employees, and suffer the massive penalties for doing so. The administration's sole concession was to give our institutions 1 year to comply. And listen to this sentence very carefully. We cannot, we will not comply with this unjust law. We cannot, we will not comply with this unjust law. People of faith cannot be made second-class citizens. We are already joined by our brothers and sisters of all faiths and many others of goodwill in this important effort to regain our religious freedom. Our parents and grandparents did not come to these shores to help build America's cities and towns, its infrastructure and institutions, its enterprise and culture, only to have their posterity stripped of their God-given rights. In generations past, the church has always been able to count on the faithful to stand up and protect her sacred rights and duties. And I hope and trust you can count on this generation of Catholics to do the same. Our children and grandchildren deserve nothing less. And therefore, I'm asking you to do two things. First, as a community of faith, we must commit ourselves to prayer and fasting that wisdom and justice may prevail and religious liberty may be restored. Without God, we can do nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. Second, I would also recommend visiting the website of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and that's in the bulletin, to learn more about this severe assault on religious liberty and how to contact Congress in support of legislation that would reverse the administration's decision. And with every good wish and prayer, I remain cordially yours in Christ, the Most Reverend Thomas G. Doran, Bishop of Rockford. I'll just add that in the bulletin is a copy of the bishop's letter, and there's also a copy of an article that Cardinal George wrote a couple weeks ago on this general subject of how the administration is trying to shut down Catholic social service agencies and so on. So I thank you for your patience and attention.